This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome back, guys. DG, Asim, KMOX. Happy Friday to you. A few minutes past 4 p.m. Every Monday and Friday, Bernie Miklas joins us. You can also hear him on the Gas House Gang noon on all the different formats, and then usually 8 p.m. in the evening with Wheels and Pauly and Tommy Ackerman. He joins us now. Hey, Bern.
What's going on, Dave?
Oh, heading to KU tomorrow to visit my daughter for her birthday. Looking forward to that.
Well, that'll be fun. And how old is she?
She will be 20 years old.
Ooh.
That's a good age. It's a weird age, right?
Because it somehow seems younger than 19. Like 19, you're like, ooh, 19, you're almost in your 20s. But 20, it's almost like you take a step back.
You're not even 21
you're
yet.
You're not even 21
yeah,
yet.
Yeah, you're not even, yeah.
But, well, you know, I have some recollections of like middle school years being hell. And I'm sure the high school years were challenging. So I think she's about to get past that finish line into adulthood. So I'm rooting for her and for you.
She's a lot nicer.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that.
Wait till she's like 23 to 26.
Yeah.
It's like, man, all of a sudden, it's like, I mean, I'm speaking from experience. My daughter's 27. It's just another friend.
Yeah.
She's just another friend, in, you know, as a family member, but it's like you're just around another grown person.
For about 5 years, all the time we spent alone, like in the car, was like one long bad first date. I'm just trying to come up with something that she might find interesting, and she's just done with me.
You're just rattling them off, and every one of them's getting swatted.
Yeah.
So, well, no, that'll be a great visit. I'm confident it will.
So, Bern, we're going to talk a lot of Cardinals. Let's start with hockey. What'd you think?
I thought Binnington was the story, you don't have to take it from me. I mean, all of those players in Team Canada were emphatic about we don't win this without Binnington doing what he did. And John Cooper, who was badgered, the coach of the team, just badgered relentlessly by Canadian media.
Yeah.
Because he started Binnington all four games. And listen, Binnington allowed some softies, and he was ripped to shreds when they lost to the USA last Saturday, 3-1. But Cooper stood by him, said he's got the pedigree, and that pedigree was, we all know that about St. Louis, that in St. Louis is 2019. And if you chart his career, which I've done, like when the Blues were making that run, plus other times, when the pressure was on the most, that was when he was at his best. And, you know, Cooper really believed in him because of that, and it paid off last night. The way he stoned Austin Matthews three times, six big saves. He stole a goal from Brady Tkachuk and saved that game. I mean, they do not win that game unless he does that in overtime.
Do you agree?
He was the guy that allowed it to happen, right? I mean, first of all, he made a bunch of big saves earlier in the game too. But that stretch in the third period and into the overtime, he was challenged repeatedly. I mean, the one acrobatic save right before the game-winning goal is one of those highlight reel plays that I'm sure Canadians are going to remember for a long time. And it was interesting. I'm sure you saw some of the reaction too, Bernie, as some Blues fans I heard from were like, boy, I wish we saw that guy a little bit more. And I'm like, yeah, I wish the team was as good as the one he was just on too. Yeah. You know, it's a little different when your support are all-stars. And we saw what he was capable of doing when the Blues had that high-performing level of team. Like, he's not super consistent, but goalies aren't. How many would you say, Bernie, goalies today are essentially the same all the time, year after year? It's not very many.
No, it's certainly different than the so-called, you know, good old days.
Right.
Where Ken Dryden would start, you know, 60 games a year, whatever, yeah, that right. kind of thing. So, no, I there's something about the guy, though, that you never really count him out.
No, when he likes the pressure, big moments.
When the pressure is on. And he's been up and down all year for the Blues. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to take shots at the Blues fans, because Binnington, whether the team in front of him, you know, has been good or not good, he has not been consistent at all. So I understand that people get exasperated with him, but I also think that the memories of 2019 will always soften our hearts if we think about it.
And the Cardinals have come out with their Hall of Fame class. Tell us about that.
Well, I mean, it's hard to explain. I mean, I like their list, but, and I'm on that committee, but I'm just hoping Edgar Renteria gets voted in. I think he's the biggest exclusion on the list, and it's no offense to everybody else. I think there's a much better case for George Hendrick than I realized until I did the research. I mean, Steve Carlton is a great, great player, but most of that, he was a great pitcher in St. Louis. Mm. His time was brief. He's known for what he did in Philadelphia. Brian Jordan, I covered him. In fact, I knew him when he was in high school. A really outstanding player. I don't know that he made the mark. He didn't make the mark that an Edgar Renteria made for the Cardinals. Renteria is the obvious choice. I'm really not sure why there seems to be a disconnect that's sort of preventing him from getting the votes he needs among the fans. I simply don't understand that.
Yeah, I wanted to point out to everybody, like, this is a fan vote, right? So this is the final four selected
just
by
to be
the committee.
Clear, this is the Red Coat Club.
Yes, these are the people that are going into the Cardinals Hall of Fame. So one of those four will go in on a fan vote. And the voting starts, I think, this weekend and goes for a couple months, and it's going to be at cardinals.com, as you would expect. So, like, this is up to the people that...
From my era, yeah. George Hendrick's hard not to vote for.
I mean... Yeah, no, that's a good point, because he was a part of Whitey Ball. He was a part of
it's
some
emotional.
Of those great years.
I don't know his stats at all. Just Silent yeah. George was,
I mean,
emotional.
He was a good hitter, and for his time, his numbers would not look the same for a power hitter, say, in the last 20 or 25 years. But, like, for his time, he was a well-above-average player. He had 7 years with the Cardinals, and I'd say, wouldn't you say, Bernie, that was the best part of his career, right? I mean, he had a couple years in San Diego that were pretty good, but the bulk of the good part of his career was here.
You know, in the Hall of Fame meeting, the thing I added, I don't have the stats in front of me, but I talked about the number of home runs he hit at the old Busch Stadium and how the gap between him and everyone else who played for the Cardinals. And I pointed out that, you know, when the Cardinals got Jack Clark, you know, everybody said, okay, well, Whitey got Jack Clark. This is great. You know, Jack Clark really gave this team power, and he really did this and he really did that. George Hendrick was Jack Clark before Jack Clark came along. And really, in a ballpark's extremely difficult for home run hitters back in those days.
Yeah.
He put up good power numbers, and he separated himself from anybody else on the team in terms of hitting for power. I think he's a legitimate Hall of Famer. I really do. And if I misspoke, I don't know what I did. I think I said something about Steve Carlton, so I apologize if I don't know why I put him in there. He is in there.
He's in the four. Yeah, he's in the four.
Okay. All right. Sorry.
A question.
I thought I had counted one too many. Anyway, go ahead.
Nope, you nailed it.
Question. You can answer this statistically or just gut, but who starts the season in the spring slower, hitters or pitchers, based on just maybe not being ready or based on the actual outdoor temperatures are chillier? But who do you usually expect to get off to a slower start?
You know, this is a bad answer, but I don't really have an opinion on it, only because I think it's both. I think it depends on, individual pitchers, individual hitters. I mean, some guys leave spring training and they're feeling great, but then a pitcher gets bombarded early in the season. There's no rhyme or reason for it, and hitters will have these terrible slumps, and they're not doing anything in Florida or Arizona, and then they open the season, and they launch. Conversely, guys that look terrible in, Florida or Arizona – with a bat in their hands, and it's like, well, what's wrong with him? Oh, but, look, he's 33. Well, he might be getting old. And then he starts the regular season and tears it up in April. So I don't know, Dave. I don't think there's one answer for that. I really don't.
No, there's no scientific one. The general rule is that hitters are behind pitchers. And I think if we look early in the year, offense is usually less in April and even early May than it is in June, July. But that's also weather related, not just like who's ahead and who's not.
Yeah,
There's no like that I'm aware of. No scientific evidence that proves it.
No,
but I can tell you that
none.
I can tell you that it is harder to hit in the cold than it is when it's warm. The ball carries less and it hurts more and you move slower. Everything's worse in the cold.
Yeah, I do, and I was trying to look something up real quick because I'm really curious about this. So let me try to do this, and I apologize wasting time because it is interesting. Major league hitters last year, and I'll just go by OPS, and because I was just looking at the most recent season, and major league hitters last season they opened the year OPS, and then it was 695 in May, and then it was 720. In June, and then July higher, and then August higher. So, yeah, the first couple of months, the hitters were down. I don't think it's because of the hitters. I think, as Kevin Wheeler pointed out, I think the weather and the conditions have a lot to do with it, because every year there are writers everywhere and podcasters everywhere talking about it's like, well, see, baseball has this problem again. The offense is dying. And some of us, like Wheeler, myself, and many others, just say, whoa, 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 let's call a timeout here. Let's wait till it heats up a little bit.
Another question. This is another kind of a Dave question. I've never been to spring training. So the last time I saw a baseball practice was my 30 and over league. Can you typically tell the real studs from just the really solid MLB players in spring training practices, in spring training games, or do you really need to see them in the show to really be able to go this guy?
Yeah, you have to just be able to filter it. I mean, listen, we were talking about this with Matt Pauly today. Like, what I want to look for in these exhibition games, I want to see guys that have a chance to make the team or a chance to improve their status within the organization, like a Thomas Sejesi, a Tekoa Robey, a pitcher they got in the Montgomery trade a couple summers ago. Like, is throwing really hard and he looks great. Okay, if he has a great spring, maybe he projects for a bullpen spot. I like to see guys that have a chance to establish themselves, even if they don't make the roster. I want to see him do well. I want to see him respond to the challenge. I want to see how well they do. Because if they don't make the team out of spring training, the team will be impressed by what they did, and they're going to get a call-up if they need him. On the other hand, I also know there's a lot of veteran pitchers and a lot of veteran hitters that really, truly work on things in spring training. They they do not care about stats whatsoever. And so I just have a hard time taking – when we're talking about veteran established players, I have a hard time taking any meaning whatsoever out of their stats, whether their stats are terrible or whether their stats are great. I think the problem is, and I've seen people in our town do this a lot, somebody in camp who's like not like a nominal contender for a roster spot, he'll hit two home runs in 3 days, and then there's columns being written about, oh, watch out for this guy, and it's a mirage.
Yeah.
So I try to be really discerning.
If you're talking about eyeballing it, Dave, mm-hmm. like you're like watching guys. Yeah. There's almost no difference between a AAA player and a major leaguer to like Joe Fan. You know, you could put two of them next to each other without names. You don't know who either. They're the same size. They throw just as hard as each other. They run just as fast as each other. It's the game performance that is who can do it against the best in the game situation.
Yeah.
There are a few things, not many, but there's a difference if you're listening to it. Like, you'll hear people talk about the ball sounds different when it hits their bat. It does. When you hear a certain quality of contact, you'll turn your head. It'll snap your neck. You'll be like, who is that? because there's a difference when people are at that elite level. Like Albert sounds different than even other major league players. So there are little things like that, but you can't tell the difference with, like, let's say you put a AAA pitcher who's throwing 95 and a major league pitcher throwing 93. You can't tell the difference watching a bullpen, not unless you're directly behind the catcher watching the movement and doing all those things, and you're never in that position.
Do I have the time to tell my Albert Pujols story?
Sure, man.
Okay. He tore up the minor leagues in 2000, and like everywhere he went, he just destroyed everything. And the Cardinals were excited about him, and we all were like, wow, I can't wait to see this guy. I was there the first day he took batting practice in spring training in 2001. I was standing behind the batting cage with Tony La Russa to my left, and Albert Pujols started launching balls into the, back then it was the Montreal Expos, had the headquarters beyond the left field wall. He started to, like, he basically starting, you know, hitting rockets into that building over and over and over and over and over again. And Wheeler's right. There was just this unmistakable sound to his contact. But the, you know what the sound that I'll always remember? Tony La Russa making animal sounds as he's watching it. Tony La Russa, Pujols would go, and the thing's flying, you know. And La Russa would go like, argh. You know, or he'd go like, you know, and I'm like, Tony, you kind of like this guy, huh? And he said, I better walk away, man, because I don't want to rush him to the major. I better walk away, but this is something else, you know.
That's cool.
He was making animal sounds watching awesome. Him take batting practice. See, I think you. That's when you know the guy's for real, yeah. Right there. That kind of thing.
That's very cool. Yeah. Byrne, tell us about Saliga.
Yeah, Saliga Heating and Cooling, man, love them, and they've been great to us. But that's true of all families in St. Louis since 1927, that the Saligas have been taken care of. You know, they're an independent American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning dealers. They can take care of your heating and cooling, and they can take care of your businesses, like commercial work. And, they do residential work, and they can take care of all makes and models. And if you want that outstanding American Standard equipment, you know, that's part of it, too, if you want that. And it is the best. But what we love about them in the Miklas home for the last 16 years is their 100% honesty, integrity. Their knowledge is superb. Their professionalism is superb. As Dave Glover found out, their response time, if you really have a minor emergency, their response time is excellent. They don't leave you hanging. They're just so great at what they do all the way around. And we're members of the Priority Club. I want you to go to the Saliga Heating and Cooling and take a look at what that is. It's a maintenance program for your equipment. And they come out a couple times a year. They make sure everything's going all right and everything's working great. You not only have peace of mind, you'll also extend the life of your current equipment, because if there's a little problem when they come out to do the check, they can tweak it, fix it, replace something at minimal cost, and it's no big deal. But if you let that thing go or there's no one there checking it, it can become a big problem. So why don't you go to SaligaHeatingandCooling.com and check out all of that. And I mean, emphatic recommendation based on 16 years of calling them to help the Miklas family. Thank you.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Welcome back, DGS. Brian says, does Phoebe take Dave to all the college bars when he visits? We're doing that tomorrow.
Fun.
Yeah, and Caroline, who does my pellets, is a KU grad, and she's a full-grown human, and she's asked me the same thing yesterday, and I said, oh, yeah, like, we're going to go to the Hawk, and she goes, oh, my God, I can smell the Hawk.
Yeah.
She's like, it's in my nose.
For us, it was the rat. It was called the bar was called the Rathskeller. It was the bar on campus, but just the Rat for short.
Oh my gosh, Dave, did you hear what the name of the bar Andrew is going to tonight is called?
No.
It's called the Fat Poor.
P-O-U-R.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but I thought it was P-O-O-R.
When he first said it the other way, we're like, wow.
How's he doing? Is he playing?
Is it a tournament
or is it more?
No, it's a convention.
A convention.
They're having fun. His wife is posting some pictures to Instagram, and they're posing with different things. They look like they're having a blast.
He told me he was going to be rich when they came back.
He didn't go to train jail
because he's got some stuff he's selling up there. I think.
Oh, nice. Okay,
like magic stuff.
Nice.
So he's going to be rich when he comes back.
That's cool. Good for him.
Yeah,
he deserves a
little trip.
Weekend away,
especially after last week and the horrible sickness he went through. It's like
yes.
Go have some fun.
Pooping in a bucket. In a poll, 30% of people say that they respect people less if they frequently mention their high IQ score. And this reminded me that I was getting a bunch of things on TikTok of your IQ and that it would test you. And I scrolled away as soon as I could because it scared me.
You didn't want to know?
I was afraid it would come back low. Did freak me out.
The TikTok IQ test.
Yes.
If it
Most
did, what would
one.
It change?
My whole opinion of myself. All of my self-esteem. 436 DGS, happy Friday. Should be a great weekend.
Oh, yeah.
50s, 60s.
Really looking forward to it.
You gonna play tennis?
Maybe. I'm definitely starting up next week because the temperatures are going to be much nicer. So that's the plan. There might still be some snow on the... on the courts over the weekend, but I figure it'll all be melted and dry by Monday or Tuesday. So
fun.
I'm excited.
Businesses, get this, are adding 15-minute minimum wait times for telephone support calls to force people to their website.
So lame.
Hey, can I just say this? Then make your website work.
Yeah.
If I need to address something there, I need to find it easily. I need to be able to handle it. And not have to run through a maze of BS. Because there are a lot of times where, like, you want to just, I just want to cancel something. I just want to cancel this thing. And it takes you 9 years to figure out exactly where to do that. And when you call, they're like, oh, just go to this, this, and this. Or we can handle that for you here. Like, just have a functioning website if that's what you're going to do.
Yeah, in 2025, everything should be easy.
Yes.
Or at least, like, if you're taking my money or I'm giving you my money, make it as easy as possible.
Yeah.
My renter's insurance expired the other day, and then I was like, ah, man, I got to get a hold of my company and blah, blah, blah. And I call, and I just kept hitting zero because sometimes that works to get an operator, and they just kept restarting the phone tree over and over again. I was so mad.
Yeah, that's frustrating.
Like, just let me talk to someone.
How many would you guess... people have died in unsolved homicides since 1980.
A lot.
In the U.S.?
Yes, in the U.S.
12,000.
7,000.
300,000.
Whoa, that's terrifying. That
right?
can't be right.
Although, I guess, I mean, it's 40 years, so.
Yeah.
It's a lot of murders.
Third of a million.
Yeah, so. Oh, would that include things like hit and run accident
Probably.
Where the driver gets away because nobody gets a plate or whatever?
Probably.
Yeah, that's a lot. It's still, what percentage? That probably doesn't say, does it? I wonder what percentage of homicides get caught. It seems like more than don't.
Yes. Yeah, probably. Throwback Friday?
Yeah, Flashback Friday. 159 years ago in 1866, Lucy B. Hobbs became America's first female dentist.
Huh. When?
1866.
Oh, okay. I thought you said 1966. Yeah. I was like, damn.
Yeah, the first one ever.
I'm like, what?
147 years ago in 1878 in New Haven, Connecticut, the first telephone directory was issued. It contained 50 phone numbers, 11 homes, 38 businesses, and the police department. Man, can you imagine being one of those 11 homes that was rich enough to have a telephone?
Man.
It's like, you can find me in the directory.
So this is a real separator of generations. I'm definitely old enough to remember the phone book. Like, when you needed someone's number, you looked it up, and yep. they were in
and,
there.
Yep, yeah. Everybody was listed.
Like, if you had an unlisted number, it like you were in the mafia.
Yeah, it was suspicious.
There was something going on.
Yeah.
94 years ago in 1931, Alka-Seltzer was first introduced.
Yeah.
Pop, fizz, fizz.
Mm-hmm. And 78 years ago in 1947, Edwin H. Land demonstrated the first self-developing instant camera. It produced a black and white photograph in 60 seconds, and he called it the Polaroid.
Yeah, cool.
Yeah, pretty cool. And now look at us. We all have cameras, high-definition cameras on our phones.
Yeah, nuts.
77 years ago in 1948, NASCAR was founded. And 57 years ago in 1968, the minimum annual salary for Major League Baseball players became $10,000. This year, it's $740,000.
Which had to be a fortune.
I mean, relatively speaking, yeah. But they were still being taken advantage of.
Very first baseball game, 5 years old. I don't remember this, but they tell a story. My dad took me down to the front row, and we're watching the guys play catch. And I said, how much less do these guys make a year than you? Because you work for a living and they're playing a game.
Right.
And he really thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, it is pretty much.
But
pretty
through the eyes of a child, that's just the way I thought it was.
Yeah.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.